Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. February is sometimes referred to as the month of love. Valentine's is mid-month. Couples who desire to be married will often select February as their marriage month. As we look at the demise of our culture, one of the contributing factors is the demise of our families. This month, I'm going to be sharing messages about marriage and family. We're going to begin with a message to our single listeners about how God can help you find a mate and help you to be significant even as you are single. If you know someone who's single, invite them to listen to these messages over the next few days. It would be a blessing to them. Then we're going to share some messages to our married couples to encourage you and to enrich your families. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Do not give your daughter to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. God was serious about people who loved him and who were his intermingling and intermarrying with people who did not know him, did not honor him, did not respect him. Unspiritual people will not apply spiritual principles to the problems that may arise in the marriage. You need somebody who's spiritual. If you're going to be praying and asking God to do something, you need somebody who has a good understanding of that spiritual principle. When you come to the pastor and have some kind of issue that needs to be discussed, you're going to get a spiritual remedy, but you need spiritual people who's going to be able to receive it. Now, that's beside the fact that an unspiritual person is going to have a negative impact on your own spiritual growth and your own spiritual productivity. An unspiritual person is going to have an impact upon you if you are spiritual. So that's the first thing. Don't go among the heathen. God knows how to supply your need among his people. Number two, pray for guidance. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord and he'll direct your path. Pray for guidance. Young man, pray for guidance if you are seeking a mate. Pray for guidance. Put a lot of prayer in it. In Genesis chapter 24, in this story of Abraham looking for a wife for his son Isaac, in verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his masters. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Verse 12 said, then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the town people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And here's the question. Do you want to choose somebody, or do you want God to choose them? God can choose them for you. And that's the best choice. God knows a whole lot of things about this person that you don't know. Let me give you a tip. Dating is designed to conceal and not designed to reveal. You don't meet someone and they tell you all of their dirty laundry as soon as you meet them. I just want to share with you because I believe we ought to have open and honest communication. I am somewhat abusive. I do believe in physical abuse. I will whoop your head. I just want you to know that. I do not work. I don't like working. I will sit at home and expect you to bring all the money home, darling. You're so beautiful. I just want you to know that. I have a problem. I'm not faithful. And I just want you to know that because I think you deserve to be shared with that honestly. They're not going to tell you that, are they? And you're not going to tell him that I just nag. I nag. I got it from my mama. I just want you to know this right now. I will nag you till you go crazy. Okay, I cannot cook a lick. I don't plan on doing no cooking, and I like a dirty house. You're not going to tell him that? I'll cuss you out. No, everybody starts lying up front. Hi, I like this. They tell you what we like, and they'll find out what you like. And you know, and everybody's going to get their very best suit and their very best face, their very best personality, their very best whatever they have, and present it to you. I might not have much, but whatever I got that's good, that's what you're going to see. I might not have two nickels to rub together. I got one good suit. You're going to see that one. All I have is a smile, and that's all I'm going to do, smile. You got a cute smile. Dating is not designed for you to find out everything you're going to find out about that person. How many people said, I didn't find that out until we got married? I didn't find out they had a problem with their credit card. I didn't find out they've been married 8 times. I didn't find out that they've been in prison. I didn't find out all of this stuff. You don't find it out while you're dating unless you're very thorough. And I thank God that we live in a modern society with all kind of tools. And I tell people now, you know, especially if you 25, 35, 45 get married, do a background search. Run him on the internet. See if his picture come up as a sexual predator. You don't have no excuse to figuring this stuff out now. You don't trust me? You gonna run a background check? Yeah, I trust you. I'm gonna run a background check. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we did background checks. We did them differently. You might say, anybody know this person? See, we're so transient, but years ago when people stayed in the same community, stayed in the same town, who know this person? I know your mama, I know your grandmama. They come from a good family. I know this person's background. I know that kid. Or your folks said, you ain't gonna marry in that family. You know they beat their wives over there. See, somebody knew you. Oh, there's a bunch of drunkards. There's a bunch of rebel rousers. There's a bunch of fools over in that family. No, you better not marry that boy. That was a background check. People are so transient now. You got people coming from every city, every country. You don't know where they come from. So the Lord has given you another way to have a background check. So this is serious business. You know, you're looking at me like, should I really do that? No, don't do it. Just see what happens. But you need to pray. God is the best background checker there ever has been. God knows stuff that's going to happen in this person's life, even that they don't know is going to happen. Your background check needs to be time in prayer. Father, I ask you about this relationship. I ask your wisdom. I ask your knowledge. Abraham's servant said, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant. Not me. I'm just a vehicle to go out and take a look. But God, you know and you choose. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Godly men in the Old Testament would use signs and fleeces for God's direction. But now we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And if we're spirit-filled and we're godly people, we ought to be acknowledging the Lord. Everything that glitter ain't gold. Everything that look good is not good. It may be good for somebody else, but not you. Not that that person's a bad person, but that's not going to be the person that God may have in store for you. And he knows it. Doesn't mean that person is not any good. They may be a very excellent mate for somebody else. Oh, Lord, I don't want to lose them. The Lord said, you better lose them. There have been people who prayed for a mate, got them, and then prayed to get rid of them. Notice the first thing that happens in this search. Abraham eliminated the ungodly. And then he narrowed that search down to the godly. And then he began to pray. But he still prayed because prayer is necessary to find God's will and purpose. God can choose better than we can. He knows things that we can never know prior to marrying someone. So the second thing is pray for guidance. Here's the third thing. Men should do the looking. The men should do the looking. The women ought not be trying to hustle and find them somebody. Mothers, train your daughters not to go out looking for some guy. I would tell my daughters, if he ain't calling you, you ain't calling him. You calling him, you trying to take him out and spend your money on him? Don't be forward. Don't be easy. Now, you can find a man if you're easy. And it doesn't take a man long to figure out that you're easy, that you're available. You stop at every, psst. Well, did you say something? Be a woman of character. The men should do the looking. You not be doing the looking and trying to find nobody. You haven't called me lately. I haven't heard from you. If you haven't heard from him, that's a hint. Sometimes it just amazes me how long it takes women to catch on. I told my sister one time, because some guy hadn't called her. It was the 4th of July, and he called her about 9 o'clock that evening and asked her what was she doing. Step back a little bit. This is the 4th of July. It's been coming all year. If he wanted to do something with you, he'd have planned it a long time ago. At 9 o'clock at night, he's through with whatever else he'd been doing. He done saw Karen in the a.m. and Cynthia in the afternoon. And now it's your turn. I know, I used to be like that. 9 o'clock on the 4th of July. Talking about what you're doing? And you're talking about nothing? Come on over. You've been waiting all day, sitting around the house, wondering whether you're going to hear from him. And I told her, I said, you know what? If a man ain't interested, he ain't going to go across the street to say nothing to you. But if he's interested, he'd walk from here to Dallas. I'm serious. If he's that interested, he'll find a way. He'll hitchhike. So you got to catch on that if it ain't happening, don't try to make it happen because he ain't interested. Don't call him and ask him, well, when you coming over? Because you won't have to call him and ask him if he's interested. He'll be calling you. What you doing, honey? Can I come see you? You ought to say, well, not at the moment. See if he'll call back. Don't say, well, yeah, I would be waiting and wondering if you're going to call. No, no, no. To my pastor, you're trying to mess me up. This is the first call I done had in a month. No, I ain't trying to mess you up. I don't know about you, pastor, but I've been waiting on this call. You got you somebody. I'm just telling you to read the signs. Because I know how a man functions. This woman, she's not the only one who knows what's happening with a man. He should do the looking. Don't be so anxious. Because I've seen, no, I was a single man, and I'm just giving you some of my experience. I was single until I was 35 years old. Never had been married. And I've seen women do some odd things to try to get a man's attention. Look at verse 15 in Genesis chapter 24. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. Verse 16, the girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered her jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And after she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, since until they have finished drinking. And so she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. I mean, that's the kind of woman I want. Brother, if you can find a woman that'll water your camels, you got a woman. Look at what happened. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Women, I'm going to tell you something. Men will watch you closely, sometimes a long time before they say something to you. Men will watch you closely before they will approach you, before they will say something to you. They will observe you. You don't know who's interested in you. That's why you have to carry yourself in a certain way all the time. He may have been getting ready to say something to you till he saw you go off on somebody. We dress up a little bit when we come to church. And he was getting ready to say something to you until he saw you at the picnic. Or at the car wash or in the grocery store. And so, ooh, Lord. Is that the way she looked during the week? Now here's Rachel coming to do some work with a jar of water on her shoulder. And the man said, first of all, she's beautiful. She didn't go get that water with a plastic sack on her head with rollers and greasy hair and all kind of stuff like that. Hair not made up and clothes all ragged. The woman is working, feeding camels, looking good. So if I was a single woman, I'd be sure every time I step out the house, if I wanted a husband, I'm looking like a glamour shot every time I come out the house. You say, that's too much work. Well, you're trying to be sure the Lord will bless you with somebody. Men are attracted to what they see. That's the first thing that has to happen. He got to see. And if he can't see, he's not going to think and meditate. I didn't say you had to be pretty. You had to look good. You can fix up an old house, put paint on it and everything. It'll look good. It's still an old house, but it's looking good. Some women don't appreciate that. And I've made comments to myself when I've seen some people and walking around, even at the church, I'm thinking, oh, Lord. You could have stayed home tonight. I wouldn't have had no problem. She came to church looking like a married woman. All right, all right. Forgive me, for I know not what I doeth. Now, you want to look good when you're married, too. But this woman was looking good. She was. Now, what was she doing? She wasn't going to a wedding. She wasn't going to an affair. She was out there working. And the first thing he said, she is beautiful. You can look beautiful when you're going to work. You can look beautiful. At least consider when you're going out and when you're going to the grocery store or when you're going to the car wash or whatever you're doing. Consider. There are more saved people in the world than that go to your church. God may have your blessing at the service station while you're pumping gas or in the fast food place or the restaurant. You never know where you might meet them. Give God some help. God's trying to help you. God sent him there, and then you're not right. God's going to say, I don't blame you, man. Just miss on this one. We'll try later. Without saying a word, he watched her closely and learned whether or not the Lord has made his journey successful. There was another thing that the scripture tells us about this woman. He tells us that this woman was a virgin, and no man had ever lain with her. Men like women who are pure. He may not be poor, but he like a poor woman. It is not a good strategy to try to get a man by going to bed with him. That's not a good strategy. Well, he said, if I don't, he won't. No, just tell him, no. This is not try before you buy. You don't test drive this. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. Watch out. Watch out. That encourages him more to seek you. You know, because man is all about conquest. And women are so funny. They say, all he wanted one thing, and then they give it to him. He's just like any other man. He just wanted one thing. And then they proceed to give it to him. You knew that. Well, why'd you do that? And then wonder where he went. Let the men do the looking. And men know what to look for. And let God guide you. And the woman should focus on building enduring qualities in her life. This woman was beautiful. She was virtuous and she was pure. And then she was industrious. There's a lot of things to keep you busy while you're waiting. I wouldn't be sitting around waiting on somebody to come make me happy. I will be building into my life. I will be doing things. I will be busy. I will be industrious. Notice this woman. She was industrious. She was busy. She was taking care of some business. She probably wasn't sitting around waiting on somebody to come and rescue her and help her. You know, I need some help. That's why I need a man. I need me some help. I used to meet a woman every once in a while, and one of the first things she'll tell you after you get to know her, I'm just looking for somebody who can help me. I knew what that meant. Somebody to pay some of these bills you got. That's what that meant. I'm just looking for somebody that can help me. And I helped her right on out. You're not interested in me. You're interested in what I can do for you. But a woman who's already industrious, already has a path, already busy, already designing, already doing things, then you can enrich your own life. And a man is more attracted to somebody who looks like they are stable and got a good understanding of who they are and is not trying to figure out that just because I came along. Now I got to help try to get you up and running. She was beautiful. She was virtuous and pure and industrious. Notice how she responded to his request. He said, can I have some water? She said, sure, I can have some water. You know, notice she didn't say, you talking to me? And look him up and down. I mean, what is the guy going to say to you to introduce himself to you? He's got to say something. Suppose God wanted him to meet you at the supermarket. What is he going to say to get your attention? He's got to say something, so be responsive. When somebody's courteous and nice to you. Ma'am, do you know how to pick one of these tomatoes when it's just right? He said, well, let me show you how to do that. Do you know which one of these are ripe that I can put in my salad? No. Lord, just bless me with somebody. Lord, just bless me with somebody. Lord, just bless me with somebody. The man said, do you know which one of these I could use? What's the difference between romaine and just regular lettuce? I don't know. I don't know, but let's take a look at it. Well, you sure know, seem to know a lot about this. Well, you don't seem to know anything about it. Where are you from? You know, I can get a lettuce conversation going. Right? You got one shot in the store, and then they gone. Then you go home wondering why the Lord will never send nobody your way. You know, ma'am, you need some help with that gas? Oh, no, I can take care of myself. If I wanted some help, I'd ask for it. You know? Can I have some water? Sure, I'll have some water. You can have some water. Are those your camels? Yes. Well, I'll get some water for them too. He said, what kind of woman is this? Look at this woman. I've been praying and asking the Lord to show me some kind of woman, and this guy. And she good looking too. You know, some of these big old women, you know, ugly women, will grab that big old thing. You want to, I'll take care of your camels. That's all right, ma'am. They got water day before yesterday. They had some water last week. They fine. All right, they'll water your camels, but here's a fine woman, a beautiful woman, a virtuous woman, and saying, sure, I go one step further. He says, I need to take a closer look at this woman. Be prepared and focus on building enduring qualities in your life. And here's the last thing. Women, also seek approval of those who love you about those other folk who are entering your life. In verse number 47 in Genesis, he asked her, he says, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Buthiel, a son of Nahor, whom Micah bore to him. Then I put a ring in her nose and a bracelet on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord and praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who's led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me so I will know which way to turn. Verse 50, so Laban and Buthiel answered, this is from the Lord, and we can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. There are other people in your life who care about what happened to you. And when they have a perspective on the ones that you are maybe interested in, pay attention to it. Sometimes other folk can see things you can't see, because you are so close to the situation. And don't be so quick to say, you just don't want me to be happy. Because they're looking at him saying, honey, you know, there's something wrong with her. Son, there's something wrong with that woman. I was just picked that up, you know, I don't know, but I just feel uncomfortable. There's something wrong. Oh, no, no, you just don't know her like I know her. Don't let your girlfriend tell you he's not that good. Oh, you just want him for yourself. You just wish you had somebody, all kind of stuff like that. People who love you, seek counsel and tell them, what do you think? Women, when you meet somebody, if you're not quite sure about him, bring him by. Let him visit with your pastor. I'll help you. I'll scope him out for you. We'll sit, we'll visit, we'll talk. And I'll tell you, I don't like him. Why, Pastor?
Thank you for joining us today. We're sharing messages about marriage and family. There are many of you in the body of Christ who are single, and you are desirous of a mate. We're sharing with you some words of the Lord about how you can expect God to move for you if you want a husband, and the basic biblical principles that you should employ when you are looking for a mate. God also wants you to know that your life is significant. Even as you are single, there are many things you can do in the body of Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God will use your life right now where you are and get glory out of your participating with Him in the kingdom of God. If you want to hear today's message again, I want to invite you to go to our website at lowcf.org, or you can subscribe to my podcast, The Light of the World Daily with Jerry Martin. You'll be able to hear these messages in their entirety. You also have my invitation to be our guest at The Light of the World. Each Sunday morning, we're meeting in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road. That's just north of the Beltway near 59 North. If you have a prayer request, we will be delighted to join you and put our faith with yours. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Let me remind you of the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. You can get Sunday school materials, books, Bibles, communion supplies, offering envelopes. Call the Beacon, 281-441-2885. for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God bless you richly, and we'll be with you again next time.